Chapter 26 Aftermath. Uzas turned to face the opening door. He'd been standing in the center of the cell, staring at the wall, thinking of blood's scent, the thin oil feel of it on his face and fingers, and the stinging, addictive warmth of its bitter sweetness running over his gums and tongue. A god's name hid within that taste, within the touch, and within the scent. A god he loathed, but praised, for the promise of power.
"I knew you would come," he said to the figure in the doorway. "After Villamus, after what you said in the fortress, I knew you would come."
His brother entered the small chamber, a Spartan echo of Uzas's former bare cell back on the Covenant. Truly, it took little effort to recreate such a lack of comfort. All it lacked was the heap of skulls, bones, and old scrolls forming a midden in the corner.
"I didn't kill him," Uzas murmured. "Does that matter?"
"It would matter, if it was the truth."
Uzas hunched his shoulders. Anger threaded through him at the accusation, but true rage, let alone wrath, was sluggish in his veins this night. He didn't rant and rave this time. He didn't have it in him. What use to rebel against the inevitable?
"I did not kill Archaea,"
Uzas said, taking great care with each word.
"That is the last time I will tell you, Talos. Do whatever you wish."
"Archaea was the last in a long, long line, brother. Before him, there was Kazin and Grillath and Farrakh. Before them, there was Raveya. Before her, Jaina, Karen, and Ullivan. You have butchered your way through the Covenant's crew for more than a century, and you carry the blame for the deaths of Third Claw. I will not let you do that on the Echo of Damnation."
Uzas actually chuckled.
"I am to blame for every murder that ever took place on the Covenant's hallowed decks, am I?"
"All? No. But blood is on your hands from a great many of them. Do not deny it."
He didn't deny it. Denial would neither serve him nor save him anyway.
"My trial is done, then. Carry out the sentence."
Uzas lowered his head, feeling both hearts beating harder. This was it. His skull would roll free. No more pain. Never, ever again. But the prophet didn't reach for his weapons. The silence made Uzas raise his eyes in dull, slow surprise.
"You have been judged,"
Talos said the words, with a care equal to Uzas's denial.
"And you are bound by Legion law."
Uzas stood impassive, saying nothing.
"The judgment is condemnation. You will stain your gauntlets with the red of a sinner's last oath. And when your lord demands your life, you will offer your throat to the edge of his blade."
Uzas snorted, not far from a laugh. The tradition was rare even in the Eighth Legion's glory days, and he doubted many warbands carried the practice with them down so many centuries. On Nostramo, members of gangs or families that betrayed their sworn oaths would sometimes be sentenced to delayed executions, so they might work off their sins in purgatorial duties before final justice was done. The homeworld's tradition of tattooing the condemned's hands bled into the Legion as a more obvious repainting of his gauntlets. To have hands stained sinners red was to show the world that you lived on the sufferance of others, and that you could never be trusted again.
"Why not just execute me?"
"Because you have duties to fulfill for the Legion before you are allowed to die."
Uzas mused on this, insofar as he ever mused on anything anymore.
"The others wanted me dead, didn't they?"
"They did.
but the others do not lead. I do. The judgment was mine to make.
Uzas looked at his brother. After a time, he nodded.
I hear and obey. I will stain my hands.
Talos turned to leave.
Meet me on the bridge in 1 hour. We have one last matter to deal with.
The Atramentar?
No. I think they went down with the Covenant.
That does not sound like the Atramentar,
Uzas pointed out. Talos shrugged and left. The door slid closed, and Uzas stood alone again. He looked down at his hands, seeing them for the last time in midnight clad. The sense of loss was real enough, cold enough, to make him shiver. Then, with a moment of confusion, he glanced around and wondered where he was going to find red paint. The back of her head thumped against the wall, hard enough to make her wince.
Sorry,
Septimus whispered. Octavia's eyes were watering, despite all the blinking going on.
Idiot,
she accused with a grin.
Now put me down. No.
Their clothing whispered as it met. He kissed her, barely, the faintest brush of his lips on hers. He tasted of oil and sweat and sin. She smiled again.
You taste like a heretic.
I am a heretic.
Septimus leaned closer.
And so are you.
But you're not dead.
She tapped the corner of her mouth.
That whole navigator's kiss thing was a myth, after all.
He answered her smile with one of his own.
Just keep your bandana on tonight. I don't want to die.
The door chose that moment to open. Talos stood in the arch, shaking his head. The towering warrior gave an irritated grunt.
Stop that, he said. Come to the bridge at once.
She saw several of her attendants at his heels. Not Hound. The nameless ones. The ones she didn't like. She wilted in Septimus's arms, listening to his racing heartbeat with her head against his chest. Closing her eyes was a mistake. Again she saw Esmeralda. Desire died within her, wholly and absolutely. Reuven was the last to enter. He raised a hand in greeting to First Claw, who lurked in a loose crescent around the hololithic table. A throne that mirrored the exalted seat of blackened bronze stood empty, as did the raised dais, once the province of the Atramentar.
That will change soon, Reuven thought. Talos may refuse that throne, but I will not.
The thought was worth musing on. The prophet had never expressed any desire to lead, and First Claw would likely be honored by promotion into the Atramentar themselves. They would be effective bodyguards for the time being, at least until the next generation of legionaries was raised from the fresh influx of infant slaves. Reuven watched the Strategium crew at work, taking note of the various uniforms on display. Most of the mortals were either in the insignia stripped naval uniforms of Covenant crew, or the dark fatigues worn by the 8th Legion serfs. But several dozen spread across various stations were clearly former Red Corsair slaves. Most of the latter wore the red robes of that fallen chapter's servants. The last time Reuven had walked the decks of a Night Lord vessel, the Covenant's crew stank of misery. That heady compound of exhaustion, fear, and doubt, forever in the air when mortals stood in proximity to the Exalted. A nectar of sorts. Here, it was an undercurrent to the salty scent of tension. The sorcerer pitied them, so enslaved to their terrors. Such an existence would surely be intolerable. He stood with First Claw at the hololithic table. Lucorifus was present, crouched in his gargoyle's hunch on a nearby console. The two slaves, The 7th and 8th were also present. He disregarded them without a greeting. They shouldn't even be here.
Brothers, we have much to discuss. With a ship of our own, free of the Exalted's tedious paranoia, the galaxy is ours for the taking. Where do we sail?
Talos seemed to be considering that very question, studying the transparent imagery of several nearby solar systems. Reuven used the moment to steal a glance at the others. All of First Claw was looking at him, Mercutian, straight and proud, Zal leaning on his immense blade, Sirion, arms crossed over his breastplate, Uzas leaning forward, red-handed by Legion decree, with his knuckles on the projector table, and Varial, their new blood, standing in midnight clad, his armor repainted and the red corsair clenched fist icon on his shoulder guard, now shattered by hammer blows. The apothecary still wore his Narthesium vambrace and was absently closing and opening his fist, triggering the impaling spike to release every few seconds. It snicked from its housing, retracting a moment later, before Varial's clenched fist deployed it again. Even the slaves were watching him. The 7th, with his machine eye and worthless weapon strapped to his frail mortal shell. The 8th, pale and drawn, with her warp conduit hidden behind black cloth. Reuven backed away from the table. But the prophet was already moving, a crescent of crepitating gold flashing out from his fists. Talos stood over the cleaved body, watching its hands still working, clawing at the decking.
Yo!
Blood bubbled from Reuven's mouth, drowning the words.
Yo!
The prophet stepped closer. First Claw closed in with him, jackal eyes glinting at the promise of carrion.
Yo!
Reuven gargled again. Talos rested his boot on Reuven's chest plate. The body ended there. Everything from below the sternum had toppled the other way, leaving what was left to fall, crawl, and take almost a minute to die. Talos ignored the severed legs, only paying heed to the bisected less than half still capable of speech. Blood ran in a forceful flow, pooling around the fallen halves, but gushing most fiercely from the cleaved torso with its straining, flapping arms. Discolored innards spilled out with the sorcerer's thrashing, slick with blood still being uselessly regenerated in the dying body. A glimpse of bone led to the broken remnants of the ribcage, sheltering the dark, pulsing organs. Two of his three lungs had been halved by the single chop. Talos kept his boot on Reuven's chest, preventing any more futile crawling. Zal and Mercutian each placed a boot over Reuven's wrists, pinning him completely as his life flooded out onto the deck. A crooked smile crept over the prophet's lips, his bitterly sincere, maliciously amused expression of subtle delight.
"Do you remember when you murdered Secundus?" he asked.
Reuven blinked, his shattered chest shaking as breath heaved through wounded lungs. Over the taste of his own blood, he supped the acrid iron of Talos's stolen sword, as the prophet rested the blade's razor tip against his lips.
"You sound just like he did," Talos said, gasping through dying lungs, panting like a beaten dog. "And you look the same, eyes wide and flickering, dawning awareness of your coming death, breaking through the pain and panic."
He slid the blade's tip into the sorcerer's mouth. Blood gouted onto the silver metal.
"This is the fulfillment of a promise, brother. You killed Secundus. You caused harm to sworn servants of the 8th Legion. And you betrayed us once, just as you surely would again."
He kept the sword in the sorcerer's mouth, feeling each flinch as Reuven split his lips and tongue on the blade's edges.
"Any last words?"
Zarl grinned down at the fallen sorcerer. Incredibly, he struggled. Reuven thrashed against his confines, against the inevitability of his own demise. But strength had fled, carried out by his spilling blood. Half-summoned, warp frost plastered his gauntleted fingers to the floor. First Claw remained with their prey until it died, wheezing out its final breath, finally resting back onto the deck.
"Varyo,"
Talos said quietly. The apothecary stepped forwards.
"Yes, my lord.
Skin the body. I want his flayed bones to hang from chains above the oculus."
"As you wish, brother. Octavia."
She stopped chewing her bottom lip.
"Yes."
"Return to your chambers and prepare to sail the Sea of Souls. I will do what I can to ensure you are not overexerted, but the journey will not be an easy one."
She wiped sweaty palms on her trousers, her nose still wrinkled at the sight of Reuven's bisected body. Varyl on his knees, cutting away armor and going to work with a flesh saw, didn't exactly help.
"What's our destination?"
she asked. Talos called up an image on the central hololithic. Glittering stars cast a malignant glow down on upturned faces and faceplates.
"I want to return to the Eye and make contact with some of the other 8th Legion warbands. But for now, I do not care where we go. Anywhere but here, Octavia. Just get us there alive."
She saluted for the first time in her life, fist over her heart, the way the Legion's warriors once saluted the Exalted.
"Quaint."
Talos's black eyes glinted in the reflected artificial starlight.
"To your station, Navigator."
This time, she performed a Terran curtsy, as if she were back in the ballrooms of the distant throne world.
"Aye, my lord."
Once she'd left the bridge, Talos turned to his brothers.
"I will return soon. If you need me, I will be with the tech priest."
"Wait, Talos," Varyl called, wrist deep in the traitor's chest. "What should I do with his gene seed?"
"Destroy it."
Varyl squeezed, bursting the organ in his fist. The Echo's Hall of Reflection echoed just as the Covenant's Hall of Remembrance had echoed before it, with divine industry. Red Corsair plunder was dumped on the floor to be cleansed when Deltrian had time to attend to such insignificant details. Meanwhile, he observed his servitor army installing his precious Legion relics in places of pride. The loss of every single artifact caused him a categorized host of digitally interpreted approximations of negative emotion, what a human might call regret. But he was pleased with the modest hoard of equipment he'd managed to salvage. On an exceedingly positive note, the Echo of Damnation boasted an extremely well-appointed chamber for housing the treasures of his trade. And although rot had set in across the ship during its years in the Corsair's clutches, nothing was ruined beyond the application of careful restoration and routine maintenance. Deltrian passed a life support pod, stroking a steel finger down the glass. The way a man might tap to catch the attention of a pet fish, Deltrian's fingertip tink-tink-tinked on the glass as he admired one of the true gems in his collection. The Titan Princeps, naked and hobbled, drifted unconscious in the amniotic ooze, curled almost fetal around the input-output cables implanted within his bowels and belly. The sleeping man twitched at the second set of taps, as if he could actually hear the greeting. That was impossible, of course. Given the amount of narcotics flooding the princeps's bloodstream, he was locked in the deepest coils of a chemical coma. If he had been even remotely conscious, well, the pain would be indescribable, and almost certainly a detriment to sanity. Deltrian watched the man twitch again. He made a note to monitor his unconscious ward closely in the coming nights, as they all acclimatized to their new sanctuary. The tech adept moved on. Lifter servitors were heaving one of the two saved sarcophagi into stasis racks. This one caused Deltrian some degree of concern. Legiones Astartes 1-2-10, preferred appellation Talos, was in command now, and the existence of this particular sarcophagus directly contravened his emotive desires expressed at a past juncture. Still, such an eventuality would be dealt with when the time arose. Deltrian considered the sarcophagus to be his finest work, a perfect representation of the warrior within. The Night Lord image engraved on the burnished platinum stood in a posture matching representations of heroic and mythic figures from at least 16 other human cultures, with his limbs and armor sculpted to exacting standards. His helmed head was arched back to suggest some mythic roar of triumph aimed up at the heavens, while he clutched the helms of fallen warriors in each hand. His boot rested upon a third, signifying his absolute victory. Yes, indeed. Deltrian was adamantly proud of his work with this particular unit, especially in the ferociously complex surgeries required to save the living remnant's life during the one and only time it had conceded to activation. The tech priest froze as the immense double doors opened on grinding hydraulics. In a curiously human gesture, he reached to pull his hood up around his features.
"Greetings, Talos," he said, not turning around.
"Explain yourself."
That made him turn. Not the anger in the prophet's voice, for there was none to be heard, but the gentility of the demand. That was most intriguing.
"I infer that you reference the continued existence of sarcophagus 10-3, correct?"
The prophet's black eyes flickered first, then his pale features turned to follow. He stared at the ornately rendered coffin for exactly 6.5 seconds.
"Explain yourself," he said again, colder now,
his voice undergoing a significant reduction in vocalized temperance. Deltrian decided to frame this in the simplest terms.
"Your orders after the engagement at Crythe were countermanded by a higher authority."
The prophet narrowed his eyes.
"The Exalted would never order such a thing. His relief at Malkarian's destruction was palpable. Satisfaction poured off him in waves, Tech Adept. Trust me, I saw it myself when I informed him."
Deltrian waited for an acceptable juncture in which to interject his own words.
"Incorrect assumption. The higher authority you are referencing is not the higher authority I inferred. The order to repair and sustain the life of the warrior within sarcophagus 10-3 did not originate with the Exalted. It was a command issued by Legiones Astartes Distinctus 110, previous one."
Talos shook his head.
"Who?"
Deltrian hesitated. He didn't know the warrior's preferred appellation, for he'd never been told of it.
"The Atramentar warrior, first of the Exalted's bodyguards, 10th company, previously of 1st company."
"Malek? Malek ordered it?"
Deltrian flinched back.
"The modulation of your voice indicates anger."
"No, I am surprised, that is all."
Talos returned his gaze to the enshrined sarcophagus, already being attached to stasis feeds.
"Is he alive in there?"
Deltrian lowered his head and raised it, in the traditional human signifier for positive agreement.
"Did you just nod?"
Talos asked.
Affirmative.
It looked like a bow.
Negative.
So he's alive.
Deltrian despaired sometimes. Slowed by their organic flaws, these Night Lords were woefully difficult to deal with.
Yes, this unit is ready for activation, and the warrior within is, as you say, alive.
Why wasn't I told of this? I walked the Covenant's Hall of Remembrance many times. Why was his sarcophagus hidden?
The orders were to maintain silence. It was believed you would react violently to the knowledge if exposed to it.
Talos shook his head again. Though the Tech Adept guessed it was an accompaniment to thought, rather than an indication of disagreement.
Will you react with violence? The Tech Adept asked. This is sacred ground, already consecrated to the Machine God, in honor of the oath between the Mechanicum and the Eighth Legion.
The Prophet's gaze lingered on the dreadnought's sarcophagus.
Do I look like a violent soul? He asked.
Deltrian was unable to discern the exact ratio of sardonic humor to genuine inquiry contained in the Night Lord's question. With no comprehension of the question's nature, he couldn't formulate a customized answer. Lacking any other recourse, he answered honestly.
Yes.
Talos snorted, neither agreeing nor disagreeing.
Awaken, Malkarion, if you are able, he said. Then we will discuss what must be done.